Amen. We appreciate Brother Taylor coming all the way down, and Dr. Randy Taylor's been a blessing in my life. I don't know if many of you have ever been up to the camp, but it's nothing, no place like it. Amen. And it's so good to have him preach for us. Come on, preach.
Right here. There you go. I hear it now. Amen. Wasn't that good preaching all morning long? Tremendous preaching. Brother Kelly, Brother Googe, Brother Coral. Thank you, Brother Coral, that message. And I am kind of in shock about a 15-minute message there. So. God bless you. That's my friend right there. Many, many years friend. And Dr. Carter, what a hero. That's a hero right there. He's a man of the faith. He stood in the gap all these years. Thank God he's been here in Florida making a difference. I've had him all over the country with us, and I just love him. Thank God for him. And always doctrinally sound, always full of the Holy Ghost. Love him dearly. Thank God for it. Thank you, Brother Parsons, for letting me be here. Tremendous. I appreciate it. And you got the filet mignon, now you're going to get the cornbread and beans, I'm telling you for sure. After I hear these guys preach, I feel like I never want to preach again, that's for sure. Get your Bible, stand with me to Joshua 14. You heard about Biden, who went to a school, and the teacher was discussing words to elementary students and their meanings, and she asked the president if he would take the word tragedy and describe it to the kids and see what the word meant. And he asked the class, he said, well, what do you think it means? And one little girl raised her hand and said, well, she said, if I had a best friend who was on a farm tractor and he turned over and ran over him and killed him, would that be a tragedy? The president said, oh, no. He said, it'd just be an accident. Another one raised their hand and said, if my friends rode the bus to school today and it crashed and killed everybody on board, would that be a tragedy? Oh, no, he said, that would just be a great loss. He said, well, does anybody here understand tragedy? And one little boy raised his hand, little Johnny. He said, well, what if you and your wife were on a plane and it was shot with friendly fire and killed both of you? Would that be a tragedy? And the president said, oh, yes. He said, that's exactly right. He said, well, now, why would it be a tragedy? And Johnny said, well, he said, it wouldn't be a great loss, and I know it wouldn't be an accident. I say amen to little Johnny. Amen to little Johnny. Joshua chapter 14, and I want to look at verse number 12. Many great verses in this chapter. But I don't want you to see a very familiar, very famous verse here. Verse number 12, now therefore give me this mountain. Look at it. Give me this mountain, he said. Therefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou hearest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that their cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Notice the words, give me this mountain. I want to preach a message this afternoon on I want it back. I want my country back. Amen. I want our churches back. Amen. There's enough firepower, preacher power in this room to get a whole lot back that we've lost. Amen. We've heard the men. We've heard the man of God. It's just we need to take the challenge. Let's bow our heads. Please ask God to bless. Father, Lord, I thank you for the messages we've heard. I ask you, Lord, to bless me. Give me, Lord, the words I need to say, the words I need to preach. And, Lord, I pray you'd give me an unusual endowment of your spirit power. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Caleb was a slave boy. Then he became a spy. He was a son by privilege, and every one of us are sons by privilege. Because of the grace of God. And in Numbers 13, he became a spy to go to Kadesh Barnea and check out the land, and as was told him to do. There were 12 of them that went in. 10 came back and said, we can't do it. There's giants in the land. There's no way we can do it. 2 came back and said, we can do this. Caleb was one of the 2. And because of that, Moses looked at him and said, you're of a different spirit. You have a different spirit. In this room, there are men with a different spirit. It ought to make a difference somewhere else. And I know it does. 40 years later, he came to a place after Israel had taken a lap for 40 years in the wilderness. And they came to this place called Hebron. And he looked at a place and he said, I want my inheritance that was promised me by Moses. Because you said I had another spirit. 3 times in this chapter, he reminded those that were listening that I wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, I wholly follow the Lord God. And that is the difference maker. When you wholly follow the Lord God. And he pointed to a cave, which used to be Kirjath Arba. Remember that. Now it's Hebron. You'll find that in the last verse of the chapter we just read. He said, I want that mountain. It wasn't just any old mountain. It wasn't any old statement. He pointed to a place where 400 years ago, it meant something to Abraham. Yeah. Abraham went to a place that bordered Sodom. And the king of Sodom knew he wasn't of them. He was with among them, but he wasn't of them. That's who we are in this land of wilderness. Amen. We're among them, but we're not of them. Amen. We serve a different purpose. We don't dip ourselves. We need to be old-fashioned and stay old-fashioned. Amen. I want to be so old-fashioned I look new again. Amen. Amen. And here Caleb was at that mountain. 400 years later after Abraham, 40 years later after Kadesh Barnea, he points to that mountain where Abraham was buried, his bones were there. Where Abraham first bought the property to bury his wife, her bones were there. That's why he pointed to that mountain. He said, I want that mountain. What he was saying is, I want it back. They've had it long enough. The giants of Anakin are here. They've taken what belongs to God. Israel had gathered together. They were groaning, mad because of the Exodus, complaining. And everybody was against going back in the land. And Caleb was almost saying, you want to go back to brick making again? And you want to go back to slavery again? You want to go back to the old ways where we were in bondage for over all those years? Caleb had the same message he had in Kadesh Barnea. We can do this. Amen. We can do this. He had a daughter by the name of Aksa, and he had her to marry his nephew. And they took over a place in called Debir. And that's where the water source was. He played it smart, like the preacher said today. The older he got smarter. He's 85 years old now. 40 years later, he shuts off the water supply to those giants. And they ran him out. And he got that place again. He got that place that used to belong to Abraham, that place that the Bible says Abraham was the father of us all. The Bible says that the son of Sodom told him that he was a prince among us, talking about Abraham. Now, I'm going to tell you, my friend, we can be in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. The world needs to think of us as something different than what the world is. I don't want to be like the world. I want our churches back. Yeah. I want that Holy Spirit back. Yeah. We perverted the gospel. We have paganized the godliness of the Bible. And we have persistently sinned against the grace of God, as Dr. Coral talked about this morning. We need to get back to having church again.
Yeah.
I've appreciated the preaching in this conference.
Amen.
A lot of conferences have traded preaching in for these movie screens and overheads and all kinds of productions. Thank God they're still preaching here.
Amen.
Thank God they're still preaching in this generation. There's enough preaching right here. We could turn the world upside down.
Yeah.
Say, how do you know that? Jesus had 12. They turned the world upside down.
Yeah.
But it'll take some people that wholly follow the Lord God.
Amen.
Wholly follow the Lord God. Can I tell you, my friend, this world is looking for someone that'll make a difference. This world is looking for a Caleb. Would God that we decide to come to this altar this morning and decide we're going to be a Caleb. You say, but I'm too old. Don't tell that to Caleb. I don't know what to do. Well, find a plan.
Yeah.
Do something. Yeah. You can make a difference that I can't make.
Right.
I can make a difference that you can't make.
Yeah. Right.
But all of us working together can make the plan work.
Yeah.
The plan is still the gospel.
Yeah.
We've sinned against the gospel in America.
That's right.
We don't preach it. We pervert it.
Yeah.
The gospel still is what God, Jesus came for. He came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
With what? The gospel.
Amen.
We need to get back to making sure that soul winning is still in our churches.
Right.
Bible preaching is still in our churches.
Yes.
When it comes time for Sunday to take Jesus out of the tomb, it's Resurrection Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
He's not dead. He's alive.
Amen.
God help us all to get back to the mission that God gave us to do. Get back to the call that God gave us to do. We don't need to change this Bible. We need to stay with the old-fashioned Bible.
Amen.
We don't need to have less of church. We need to have more of church.
Amen.
We don't need to have the fear of a pandemic. We need to have the grace of God to do what He tells us to do. Thank God this church never shut down.
Amen.
I was in a meeting in Ohio, and there was a man that came, found out he was a pastor in the area. And all while the service was going on, he was weeping and crying. When the service was over, the invitation began, I turned to the pastor and said, who is this man? He said, well, he's a preacher there. He just came to the area. I said, why is he weeping? What's wrong? Why is his heart broken? He said, well, he took an older church, senior citizens, and when the pandemic took place, they took the keys from the preacher. They locked the building. This is happening in America. They locked the building. And he hasn't been able to have a service in that building since. I don't care what happens in this country. I don't care what Dr. Fauci says. I'd like to give him a one-way ticket back to China is what I'd like to do. We've let mandates and mad scientists overrule the pulpit of God. Oh, God help us to get back to what we need to do. God help us to do the things that we've been commissioned to do. And I want to say very quickly here this morning, number one, we need to preserve the past. Preserve the past. Preserve the past. The past. Kirjath Arba was now Hebron, but it was still what belonged to God. And he said, I'm not going to let the bones of Abraham and Sarah go to waste. I want to make sure that we protect it all. And we need to preserve what's been given us. We need to preserve the things that are of us and part of us. And then I want to say, my friend, not only that, but we need to deal with the present. Deal with the present. This generation belongs to us.
Amen.
Our forefathers are gone. I've been able to be a part of some great men in my life. They've had a part in my life. But I want to say to you, my friend, we don't need to let die what they had.
Amen.
Deal with the immediate right now. The immediate. In 1860 B.C., Sarah died. In 1857 B.C., Abraham died. 1445 B.C., Caleb comes to this place of Hebron. 400 years later, and he says, I want that mountain. I want that mountain. And he reminds of his inheritance. He said, hey, this belongs to me. You told me I could have it. I want it back.
Amen.
I want it back. I've been preaching now 47 years and 2 months. It'll be 2 months. I'll be 47 years as an evangelist. You're looking at a true gypsy. I said, Lord, if you won't beg me about the pastorate, I sure won't beg you about it. I mean, all the mundane, everyday problems of Baptists. I mean, I would be a terrible pastor. I'd have to kick you out of my office and say, get in, get out, get on, get off. One of the two. But thank God for pastors, amen. Where would we be without pastors? I'm not a shepherd, I'm a sheepdog. I snip at the heels of the sheep and get them back to the shepherd. I take the carpet and sweep out the dirt off from under the carpet so everybody can see it again. I've always been said, you preach the right things. I've always been told, you preach the right things, the bubbles will always rise to the top. We need that again in this country.
Amen.
I like what he said about that young man getting saved. Sunday night I was preaching. The invitation was happening, and a young man came from the foyer of the church. His name was Trevor. Somebody handed him on Saturday, the day before, a church tract. It still works, ladies and gentlemen. It still works. Hand him a church tract. He walked down the aisle, didn't know what to do, never been in church in his life. Had a mask on, didn't think he could come to church without one of those masks that the people have lied to us about. He walked down the aisle with a mask on his face. Stood there in front of the pulpit. Didn't know what to do. The youth pastor was a good soul winner. He walked down there and led that boy to Christ. Trevor never been to church before. But if we're doing our job, we'll get more Trevors like that.
Amen.
More and more and more and more and more. We need to get back to doing what needs to be done in the immediate. Right now. Look at your area and ask God to give it to you. Ask God to give you a plan to do something for Him. And then the last thing is, we need to make sure that we face the future. Face the future. Caleb was just 85-year-old man. But he wanted something different than the rest of Israel wanted.
Yeah.
He stood out like a sore thumb. He said, I want that mountain. Give me this mountain. He knew what it was all about. There's a lot in stake at this generation. Our forefathers can't do it for us. We have to do it. We have to do it. Get you a burden. Get you a plan. Get you a will of God in your life and stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. We're messing a lot of things up in this world, but God knows we need to stay right with God. Joshua 1:11, he possessed it. Joshua 9:24, he destroyed all the inhabitants of the land, but he slew them not. Who was that? The Canaanites. They took the giants out, but the Canaanites were still around, and God said, take them all out. Don't leave one of them alive. Take them all out. Israel didn't do that. They left some. And they left them and they taxed them. The Bible said, asked for tribute from them. And they destroyed the land again.
Right.
And if we don't watch out, my friend, we won't do the thorough job we need to do.
Right. Yeah.
Stay with it. If it worked for the generation before, it'll work for us.
Amen.
It'll work for us. Close your Bibles and look this way. If I mentioned to you this morning the greatest maritime disaster in American history, I know what we'd all say. It was the Titanic. And it was terrible. There were 1,503 fatalities. But that wasn't the worst. 47 years earlier, April 27, 1865, there was a vessel on the Mississippi called the Sultana. It was a sidewheel steamboat. And the capacity of this steamboat was 376 people. But the crowd they had on the boat was 2,138 people. That's 1,762 people more than should have been on board. It had four boilers. Three of them worked and one needed repair. They needed to have at least 6 weeks to fix that one boiler. It needed new rivets because it popped loose. Needed new welding. But because they were in such a hurry, they just patched the fourth boiler. Put a patch on it where the metal was thinner than the metal on the boiler itself. And she blew up. All of them. One blew up, and then all four of them blew up simultaneously. 1,547 passengers died from that crowd. That's 144 more than the Titanic. She burned, sank near Memphis, Tennessee. But the disaster was overlooked because of other pressing events that surrounded the media during that time, or the newspapers. It was called the American Civil War. It had come to an end. The previous day before the explosion of that vessel, President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth. The wooden steamboat was full of paroled troops from the war, Union prisoners of the that were in Confederate prisoner camps. They were released into the U.S. government. All of them were given, these enlisted men were given $2.75, and the officers were given $8 apiece. And so what went on board that day was 85 crew members, 1,961 paroled Union prisoners, 22 guards, and 70 paying passengers, a total of 2,138 people aboard. Before leaving, this boiler was not repaired and exploded. It exploded everywhere. The rivers were flooded, in one of the worst floods at that time. Over the banks, bodies were found everywhere. Gross crowd, the overcrowded boat that was there, and there was an enormous explosion. These people were dead everywhere, drifting bodies down the Mississippi River, 7 miles from Memphis. I got one thing to say about that explosion. Don't patch it. Fix it. And here's what we need for this country today. I'm tired of just putting a patch on it. Let's get in the fixing business. Get back to the old time religion. Get back to the things I know that can help make a difference in this country. Shall we stand by our heads? In just a minute, we'll have a brief invitation. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many preachers are here again? Would you lift your hand again? Preachers that are in the crowd, I'm going to beg you today, as you're always doing and as you're doing now, to dedicate yourself to make a difference. Find you a mountain somewhere that means something to you spiritually and decide, that's my mountain. That's my mountain. And be a Caleb. I'm asking us in this generation and the rest of this crowd to be a Caleb. You say, and you give all the excuses. Caleb left all the excuses aside and said, I'm going to do something for him. I want it back. I want old-time religion back. I want old-fashioned fundamentalism back. I want it back, and it can happen now, just like it happened in Caleb's day.